we may use the word Good Samaritan, and everybody understands that someone coming to the help of someone else. We might use the word the prodigal son, and everybody knows that refers to a child who has run away, a child who seems to be hopeless. Other words that convey are David and Goliath. When you hear those words, David and Goliath, what are the things that come to mind? An unbelievable upset, a victory of stunning proportions, of overcoming obstacles so great that no one could ever have even imagined it. David versus Goliath. Why did God include that story in His Bible? I believe it's not just a great story, but it's a great story because every one of us have our own giants in our life that we have to conquer. Now, our modern day giants don't carry swords and shields like the ancient Goliath did, but instead they may use the weapons of unemployment, abandonment, abuse, or depression. Our giants might bring to us bills that we can't pay, people that we can't please, grades that we can't ever seem to make, drugs we can't refuse, or a future we can't seem to face. Our giant might be a seemingly unsolvable problem at work. It might be our spouse, it might be our parents, it might be our boss. Instead of Goliath, our giant's name might be fear, loneliness, insecurity, guilt, unforgiveness, Visa, or even MasterCard. It's a giant that has repeatedly defeated us, every one of us, when it has faced us in the past. Well, whatever your giant is in your life, the good news that God wants us to learn through the story today is that each and every one of us, with God's help, can finally overcome those giants that seem so overwhelming. I say that because that's exactly the story that David and Goliath teach you and I today. It's a 3,000-year-old story, and it's found in 1 Samuel 17. The Israelites and their longtime foes, the Philistines, are preparing to go to war against each other once again. And they're facing each other across the Valley of Elah, and it is a steep ravine over a mile wide. Both sides have fortified their positions on top. The Israelites are dug in on one side, the Philistines are dug in on the other side. Whichever army charges first is going to be in an almost suicidal attempt because they're going to have to go up a steep incline. Their advance is going to go to a crawl, and they're going to get slaughtered by the fortified soldiers on top waiting. So the army of Philistine, knowing that, they use a different tactic. They have a champion named Goliath, a warrior that is so physically impressive that the Bible takes the time to give us specific details about him. For example, using today's language, we know that he is about 9'9" tall. Now, most of us have seen LeBron James play basketball. Not only is he tall, he is broad and muscled. Some people have estimated that if you took LeBron James' build and put it on Goliath's height, Goliath would weigh approximately 550 pounds, 9'9" tall. The armor that covered his body weighed over 200 pounds. His spear was as thick as the end of a baseball bat, and its iron tip weighed 25 pounds. Now, if you ever participated in track and you threw a 12-pound javelin, You can imagine what it's like trying to throw a spear with a 25-pound weight on its end. His shield bearer held a shield, a man-sized shield, in front of Goliath to deflect any spears or arrows shot at Goliath during the battle. And the result that Goliath was a people-killing machine, and he had never been defeated in battle. And so each morning he would walk down to the floor of the valley, and he would challenge the Israelites to send out a warrior to fight him with a very simple premise: whoever wins, the armies don't have to fight, but one army will surrender to the other. Saul, the king of Israel, was a logical warrior to go to battle against Goliath, because Saul himself was head and shoulders above any other warrior in the army of Israel. But yet verse 11 tells us that Saul was dismayed and terrified of Goliath, as were all the Israelite warriors. So for 40 days, this psychological warfare between the Philistines and Israel went back and forth, with Israel cowering behind their fortifications. But on the 41st day, David shows up and kills Goliath. So the question for you and I today is, how could a small shepherd boy defeat an experienced warrior almost twice his age, twice his size? Well, thankfully there's some giant killing lessons from the scripture that we can learn that will also enable us to face the giants we go against day in and day out. Giant killing lesson number one: God calls us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. God calls us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. David was the youngest of eight sons. At the time this story took place, he's somewhere between 15 to 16 years old. He's probably not even old enough to have gotten his driver's license in our society yet. He's an eighth, maybe a ninth grader in school, to put it into perspective. He was a young man so insignificant that his father didn't think much of him. Now, why is that important for us to remember? I've heard a lot of Christians say that God could never use me in a great way like David or Moses or Abraham, because I'm just an ordinary person with a dull routine. I'm stuck in a nowhere job going nowhere fast. Or I'm not strong, I'm not beautiful, I'm not talented, I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, if you've ever felt that way, I want you to remember that this day that changed David's life began like every other day in his life. He was out tending the sheep when his father approached him and said, "I want you to take some sack lunches to your brothers on lines facing the Philistines." And so that's what he did. Now, what's the significance of that? David was crowned the future king of Israel, but he's out watching the sheep. In the same way, when God calls people, he calls people who are faithful to the task that he has assigned them, no matter how mundane or trivial they might seem. It's by the little things that we do well that God knows how well he can trust us with the larger task for his kingdom that he wants to give us. So one of the things that we can learn from David is that no matter how dull or boring or ordinary our routine might be right now, if we ever want to be used by God in an extraordinary way, then we need to learn to do the ordinary things with excellence. Colossians chapter 3, 23 puts it this way: whatever you do, as working for the Lord, not as human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, for it is the Lord Jesus you are serving. The greatest adventures in the world always starts in the ordinary, everyday of life. So don't ever disregard the day and the routine that you are in. Giant killing lesson number two. God uses the ordinary to prepare us for the extraordinary. God uses the ordinary to prepare us for the extraordinary. I want you to imagine what it was like for David to be a shepherd, this 14, 15, 16-year-old boy. He's all alone in the hot sun, day in, day out, with no one to talk to. There's no iPod to listen to music on. There's no cell phone to check what's going on in the world around him. There's no tablet to do his homework or anything. All he's doing is nothing but watching sheep slowly move around in a small circle, and they're eating grass all day long. Talk about boring. But how did David use that time with the sheep? That's what makes the difference in David's life. From the Psalms, we know that David used this time in nature to observe the world of nature and learn to see God in the world all around him and how awesome and magnificent God was in things like the sunrise and the sunset and the way the world was made. In 1 Samuel 16, we know that David was called to be a musician in the royal court. But how did he get to be such a skilled musician? My guess is he used those years as a shepherd to play to an audience of sheep who never complained about how bad he was in the beginning. That was my joke for the day, okay? In 1 Samuel 17, when we get to the battle, David has a sling. He puts a rock in the sling. He uses his sling and he hits Goliath on the forehead and stuns him enough to kill him. Was that luck? Was it an accident? Or was it skill? See, what David had done as a shepherd boy in the boring moments of life, how many of you have ever picked up a rock and tried to skip it across a lake? Well, David had a sling. And he used that sling from the time he could start twirling it to hit an object. And so probably for 10 or 12 years of his 16 years on this life, he had thrown a sling thousands and tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of times till he could hit any target he wanted to. Now the result of David's years of training as a shepherd is seen in 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 through 37. After David volunteers to fight Goliath, Saul tells him he's just a mere boy, a young whippersnapper, an amateur with no chance of defeating Goliath. But I want you to listen to David's words back to his king, starting in verse 32. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will also deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." So why wasn't David afraid of a 9'9", potentially 550-pound skilled warrior? Because he had wisely used his time as a shepherd boy to develop the skills that enabled him to kill a bear that was as tall as Goliath and a lion that weighed as much as Goliath. So while he had never faced Goliath before, he had faced the equivalent of two Goliaths in his past. David's example teaches us that God wants our trust to grow as we learn to rely upon Him in a greater and greater way through the normal challenges of our life. And then because of increased faith and because of the practical skills that we've learned from our daily routine, God wants us to put those together into a giant killing routine. Third giant killing lesson we have is very important. Fight the way God made us to fight. Sometimes I think God has a hilarious sense of humor. And it must have been seen in the next few verses, because listen to what happens next. Saul finally agrees to let David fight Goliath, but Saul's still thinking with Saul's mentality. And so in verse 38, Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Now, you have to understand, Saul was probably a size 52 extra tall, extra long, and David was probably a size 36 small. And so he puts Saul's armor on him, and it must have been hilarious to watch that thing. That armor is probably dragging to the ground. It's probably weighing David down, and he can't even move his arm. But that's the way Saul wants David to fight. David says, "No, King, that's not for me." And so he takes the armor off. He goes to the creek running in the ravine between the two hills. He selects 5 stones, and he goes out to fight Goliath. Now, why did David reject Saul's armor and his sword and his spear? Why did he only carry that sling with him? Because that's what he was used to. That was what he had used all those years. That's what he had killed the bear and the lion with, and that's what he was comfortable with. Now, David's example teaches us something very important in the kingdom, that what works for someone else may not work for us. So rather than imitating someone else, we need to find our own way that God wants to use. You know, I've gone to many seminars and many different business conferences, and I've had people who say, if you're organized and if you do all the things you need to do beforehand, you're going to have great sales. And so we get all organized, but we don't have the sales like that person does. And so we go to the next sales seminar and says, if you're social and you get out there and you mingle with people and you do this socially and you do that socially, forget the organization. Just go contact people. You're going to be a great person in the business world. And so we forget the organization and we go out and we try to meet and greet and do all these things, and we're still not good. The speakers are the speakers because that's what they're good at. The idea is, what are we good at individually? Each of us is a truly unique person. And so for God to work through us, He has to work through us, and not us imitating or copycatting someone else. What works for you? Is it your sense of humor? Is it your ability to confront something head on with grace? Is it your innate sense of right versus wrong? Is it your ability to get along well with people? It might be your brains, it might be your brawn, but the idea is, whatever God has given you, that's what He wants you to use in overcoming the giants of your life. And as we do so, giant killing lesson number 4. Go ahead and fight your giant, but remember the size of your God as you do so. Remember the size of your God as you do so. David's example shows us how to fight our giants. Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. With his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now, I want you to note what David did. We kind of read between the lines here, but it's very important. David made the decision and he headed straight for Goliath. No delays, no procrastination, no second guessing. He simply went straight to battle. Now, why is that important for us? Because often we talk about our giants. We make lists about how to deal with our giants. We seek advice about our giants. We pray about our giants. But sooner or later, sometimes we actually have to face our giants head on. But when we do, it's important that we remember David's example as far as what we focus on during the battle. You see, all of us have to make a crucial choice when that giant in our life shows up. We can focus on the size of our giant, or we can focus on our God. But we can only choose one or the other, and it makes a big difference which we choose. Now, how do we know that David focused on God and not on Goliath? Well, we know in 1 Samuel 17, he only made two references to Goliath. One was in verse 26, when he asked the Israelite soldiers about Goliath. And the other was in verse 36 when he talked to Saul about Goliath. And that's all. No questions about Goliath's skill. No questions about his fighting technique or how many warriors that Goliath has killed in the past. Instead, he focused on God. Now, how do we know that? Notice the repeated references to God during his conversation with Saul. Verse 26, he talks about the armies of the living God. Verse 36, again, the armies of the living God. Verse 45, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Verse 46, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Now, I want you to think about the implications of what I just read to you. When David was ready to go to battle against Goliath, his faith in God was strong because his God thoughts outnumbered his Goliath thoughts 9-2. Almost a 4-1 ratio. Knowing that, when we have to face those giants and those problems that seem to defeat us all the time in our life, do we dwell on God's grace 4 times as much as we dwell on our own guilt? Is our list of blessings 4 times as long as our list of complaints? Is our mental file of God and the things that we hope and trust in 4 times greater than those things we fear might happen to us? Are we 4 times more likely to talk about our God or our enemy? You see, who we focus on makes a great difference. And the lesson we learn is profound. When we focus on our giants, we will fall. When we focus on our God, our giants will fall. It's that simple. Saul and the other Israelite soldiers were terrified of Goliath because they saw only the size and the strength and the equipment of this huge warrior. But David did not see Goliath that way. He saw Goliath compared to a lion, compared to a bear. He saw Goliath and contrasted Goliath to a God who had created the universe, a God who numbered the stars at night, a God who set the sun in his path every day. And compared to that God, Goliath was as insignificant as an ant. Now, there's another important insight we need to learn. It's not necessarily a giant killing lesson, but I want you to point this out. Go to 1 Samuel 9:1. We're going to piece a couple of scriptures together. In 1 Samuel 9:1, it tells us that King Saul is from the tribe of Benjamin. And in Judges 20, verse 16, it tells us that there were 700 men from Benjamin who were so expert with the sling that they could hit a target the size of a human hair every time they threw the sling. Now, if you want to pluck out one of your hairs, I wouldn't advise it. Some of us are losing more than others. But a size of a human hair. Now, let's put those pieces together for this importance. There were probably hundreds of Benjamite warriors in the army of Israel who looked at Goliath every day. There were hundreds of men, including Saul, who could have defeated Goliath every one of those 40 days that Goliath issued the challenge. But only David was able to defeat Goliath. Because of all those hundreds of highly skilled warriors, only David had a God-sized faith. Now, I don't know what your personal giant is this morning, but God is. I know that each of us would prefer that our giants leave us alone and just get out of our life, but that's not going to happen. Sooner or later, we have to deal with our giants. And for us to defeat our personal giant, David is exemplifying the same thing that God is asking of us. That, so to speak, we give God the stone and the slings, our unique talents and strengths that are in our hand. We give those to God, and in faith, we defeat our enemy. I want us to issue a special challenge to every man here, not putting our ladies down, but every man here. God has called us to be godly leaders to our family and to our church. And in our lifetime, we may have to defeat many Goliaths. And when those Goliaths come before us, we can either be a Saul who retreats behind fortifications in fear, or we can be a David whose faith in God enables us to overcome our Goliaths. And just as the Israelites watched both Saul and David, other people are going to be watching us as we fight the battles that God has called us to fight on this earth. They may be other men in the church. They may be younger Christians who look up to us. They may be our wife and our children. What happens when that giant comes before us and we become Saul, a modern-day coward lacking faith in God? What's that going to say to our children and to the church around us? Or we can be a David who goes out and conquers our giants, and we can cause others to become giant killers as well. To me, one of the greatest stories of the Bible is not just the fact that David killed Goliath, but when David became king, there are eight other men listed in David's army who also went out and killed similar giants while David was a king. Your children are going to watch, and they're going to imitate who you are. There will be people in the church and in our society who will see us face our giants. And they'll either rally in courage and fear and be inspired to do more because of how we defeat our giants. Or they will be intimidated and cowered because we have done the same. The story of David and Goliath is not just a great story that describes a sports upset of huge proportions. It's a real life that God wants us to learn from, because every one of us have a giant we have, and every one of us have others that we need to be a role model for. We have to remember, even to this day, the words of David, the battle belongs to the Lord, and because it does, it is the Lord and only the Lord that will enable us to be victorious when we face our giants. Father, we thank you, not for our giants, but we thank you for you. We thank you that you are there to train us, to equip us, to fortify us, to give us courage from within. We thank you that you defeated your own Goliath when your son rose from the grave, that even death could not hold Jesus. And as such, he became the resurrected leader of God's army, the one who will call us to him someday. So help us to keep our eyes on Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, so that we too will have the strength and the courage and especially the faith to trust in you the next time Satan tries to defeat us. We ask in your son's name. Amen. As we do every Sunday, we are going to offer an invitation hymn. And for those who want to be a part of this church, we're going to ask you to come forward, say we want to join a church that's willing to proclaim the word and stand firm to Jesus. If you've never known the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we want to show you how that can happen and you can become a giant killer in your life. Rachel, we're going to stand. Rachel's going to help lead us in the song. And so, if you have that decision, once the music starts, I encourage you to come forward. Or even before.